You're listening to a sermon from our Vision Series at Sojourn Church North.
Well, good morning, friends. Once again, to be here on this Sunday morning. I know many of my friends are kind of reaching that point where they're crossing into their 40s, and I couldn't help but think back that one of the glorious pictures that I still return from time to time was when my wife organized and planned my 40th. And you know, when you plan your 40th, it's a big thing. And one of the things that I wanted more than anything is to gather friends around me, because I knew that if you were to map out my spiritual journey, if you haven't done this, maybe to encourage us, it's so interesting that in key junctures of my life, there's always been a friend that God has given me and has mightily used to influence me to love Jesus more. And so in my 40th, to have a group of friends, and those who are present know what wonderful Filipino food we had that evening, because my mom and dad and also my sister, who flew from Hawaii, surprised me to come to Kentucky, celebrated that day with me. And I think one of the lasting pictures was when we were gathered in my living room and led by Pastor Chad. Each friend that was there were just, again, encouraging me, but also sharing stories of what friendship with me has been. And one of the things that, again, a couple of things stick out in that even time was how these people in my life really walked with me. Makes me even emotional just even thinking about it, because I can just envision faces and the voice that went as they were sharing their stories. It reminds me of one of Augustine's quote, as he wrote in The Rule, one of his documents, when he spoke of these words, is, "Whenever you go out, walk together, and when you reach your destination, stay together." And one of the things that living room experience on my 40th showed me is here are people that were willing not only to walk with me, but has stayed with me. And if there is a heart that I have for you all as we are continuing on this series on friendship, that's really the vision, right? The vision of what it looks like for friends to walk with us, and that when we reach our destination, they stay with us. And if there is a day and time that we need friends to walk with us and to stay with us more than ever, it's this time. As we see the virus surging in ways and affecting still many people's lives, and anxiety is at a all-time high in ways, given like what's going to be shut down again, I think underneath all the things that we're seeing in social media outlets, I want you to know that there's also this epidemic that's also sweeping our world today, and it's really the epidemic of loneliness. I know we probably don't think about loneliness a lot as far as like being explicit about it, but loneliness is one of those hidden or invisible realities in life that affects us in so many different ways. If I could confess, even this morning, one of my great fears, and it's often something that I can either not be aware of, is that deep down inside, my fear as James Santos is to be alone. It's been something that as I trace even my own life, growing up, at moments where I find myself grieving in terms of points of my story, it's this fear of being left alone or abandoned or rejected. if there are stories, countless stories that I hear even in this pandemic time, you hear behind their story is this fear also of loneliness. I don't know about you this morning and where you find yourself. Maybe it's loneliness at home or in your marriage or in your parenting, or loneliness in your vocation, or loneliness just in particular, or as one Christian author says, it's a loneliness without a face. You can't even really detect it. But all you know is your heart is heavy, your throat is constricted, and things just feel disorienting. I want you to know this morning that we're in good company, because before the fall happened in Genesis 3, there is a God, our God, who first identified loneliness. If you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it was God who says, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we usually use that verse in context of marriage, but I want to apply it broadly. I think he's getting at this idea of relationship, that is not good for us, man and woman, to be alone. We are created for relationships. We're created for one another. That's why we gather here, even on this Sunday morning, to be able to see each other's faces. And I'm going to even pause here because I know the content of what I've written down and prepared for can sometimes get ahead of me. But just to be able to take on your faces, just to see your faces here and your eyes. That as I even scan across this auditorium and I feel my heart beating, that I want you to know that even as I am preaching at this very moment, and I'm aware of that, it feels like an out-of-body experience, but this is pretty unique for us as human beings to have an observer in our minds to be able to do that. But to say, even as I am preaching here, that you, my friends, exist in my mind and my heart right now. And even to translate that, I want you also to know that God, our God, the God that we've been singing to and praying to, we too, as his people in Jesus, we too exist in his mind and in his heart. That is the vision that we have. When Jesus says, again, just in review from last week in John 15, 15, no longer do I call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. We highlighted that God's relationship with man and woman is not a transactional one. It's not that if you do A, then I'll do B. No, as we linked this idea of friendship, but also relationship to the prodigal son story in Luke 15, all that is God's is ours in Jesus. We've always been with our God. And I want to even envision and imagine with you this morning that as we are seated here, wherever you find yourself this morning, God wants to meet your need in profound and particular ways. And he wants to meet it in the gift of friendship. So last week, we more kind of dealt with this vertical relationship that we have with God. Well, today, I want to bridge this with what does a horizontal relationship with men and women look like? And so if you can stand with me, we're just going to read two Proverbs from Proverbs 17, 17, and then I'll read Proverbs 18, 24. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18, 24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is God's word. You may be seated. You may be seated. So this morning, two Proverbs, two Old Testament friendships or stories to illustrate the two Proverbs and some applications this morning. So two Proverbs, two stories, Old Testament stories to illustrate these two Proverbs, and then some application points. So a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, you have to understand, in ancient times, like, family was it. Like, family was at the center of life. And so for the author of Proverbs to say that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, that word sticks means to cleave, to stay with, to join with, is a pretty bold statement, because family was at the center of ancient times. And so a friend that sticks closer than brother is one where a friend chooses, right? As important as our mom and our dad is, our sisters and our brothers, like, they're going to be loyal to the end, right? A brother is born for adversity. They're going to be there when it's tough times, if you will. But if you have siblings, there are times where siblings don't have to like you. And you probably have many stories of that, of brothers and sisters who don't like you. They may not invite you for, you know, dinners or have drinks, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That is, a friend can be better than a brother and a sister. Because at the heart of a friend is a one who chooses, who deliberately chooses and says, "You are my friend." It's like C.S. Lewis, when you're conversing with a friend for the first time, and there's a point in the conversation, you say, "Oh, you too." And a friendship is born, isn't there? See, a friend, when we consider the ones that we are in relationship with today, they are people who has chosen us and we have chosen them. You know, we speak of how Abraham was called the friend of God in Isaiah 41:8, and in Moses, who is a prophet leader who delivered God's people from Egypt, is known as one who speaks to a friend. So in God's mind, this whole idea and vision of friendship is we see a God who chooses generously. And at the heart of friendship is this faithful, loyal love, which I want to illustrate with these two stories this morning. And the first story that we have in the Old Testament, that as I was reading it this past week, is a story of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi. Now, we know the story well. If you've gone through a series in our book, sermon on Ruth, it's really a powerful story of two individuals where we see Ruth choosing Naomi. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 to just set this up, this story. Ruth chapter 1, just to kind of get the context of what was going on in Naomi's life. In the days when the judges ruled there, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, where they were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died. And just listen to this chilling description. And that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi, a widowed, and not only a widow, but saw her two sons die, no grandchildren, left to figure out life by herself. I mean, to read where here was a woman left without her two sons and her husband, was financially, basically bankrupt. And as you read through chapter 1 of Ruth, we see God's grace and kindness. Naomi, knowing her future, she sent back, she encouraged her two daughter-in-laws to go back home, to basically create another future, because again, death is what marked Naomi's life. But Ruth, and who she is, and God's work in her life, because we see in verse 14 of chapter 1 this word. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But here it is. But Ruth clung to her. That word clung is the same word that we read in Proverbs 18:24 of stick. Cleaving. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, that is Orpah, and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But here we read in verse 16, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where I go, I will go. For you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Friends, that is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That is a sister, right? Friends, when we think of this idea of friendship, it's in the demonstration and life of Ruth to say, I will be with you. I will stick with you. I will cleave. I will see you to the end. I will not only walk with you, but I will stay with you. That is the vision. That is really a picture of chesed love, covenant love. A love that is loyal, a love that is true and faithful. Another story is the story of David and Jonathan. If anything that we know of David, knowing about his Moabite great-grandmother, which is Ruth, David also got to experience true friendship, this deep commitment in Jonathan. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1, 2, and 3, we read these words. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. That's another picture. He loved him as his own soul. Or in Greek tradition, right, it is saying that if you find a friend, it is like meeting another self. That covenant love. That love that will not let go. And if you know anything of the story of David being chased by Jonathan's father, King Saul, to death. And the key point, the key turning point in the story of David's life was Jonathan choosing David as his friend and saying, your soul is knit with my soul. I wonder, friends, today who you would consider as one that would be a Ruth and a Jonathan in your life. who have been the Jonathans and the Ruths in your life, to be able to choose in the midst of grief, to be able to choose in the midst of terror and fear and confusion. Because when you think of David's even ascent to the kingdom of Israel, it was one marked with fear. And God showed his loving kindness, his covenant loyal love to David in the friendship of Jonathan. See the faces of those friends in your mind this morning. Those faces and those experiences, those memories, friends, who has demonstrated this Hesed covenant love towards you, this never giving up that holds on to the end, this love that invites you to this belonging. Because what do we want when we want to belong? And in the heart of every human being, I think, is the longing to belong and to be connected. I still go back to my words as the pandemic began, really bearing my soul before the Lord, but also writing it down in my journal. What is it about the presence of another human being that is fulfilling, healing, good, truthful, and beautiful? And so far, and I would say it is still true today, that to the degree that James Santos is willing to be known by friends in my griefs, joys, strengths, weaknesses, giftedness, imperfections, love, and shame, is to the same degree in which I then become known to myself and God. It is really hard to know myself, friends, and God until I see myself in somebody's face and eyes and feel felt and valued that I exist in their minds, in their hearts, and in their bodies. Because every true relationship, every true friendship, it is like meeting another self. And to be able to pay attention to that, to be able to take that in. Because attention, friends, is the purest and rarest form of generosity. That when we can behold in another person's face and them reflecting back your own heart and your own soul, that is a beautiful thing. When people ask me, what do I do as a chaplain, as a pastor, as a friend, I think I've kind of crystallized it. And you've heard me say this time after time. This is a way for me to rehearse this. That James Santos exists in this world so that people may feel more aware, awake, and alive. That what I do each and every day and by God's grace is to help undo aloneness by helping others feel seen, heard, known, valued, and loved. And I don't want that just to be my vision, but if I could, in ways, invite you, friends here in Sojourn North, to also do this, that we help each other undo aloneness by being seen, heard, known, valued, recognized, and loved. Because at our very core and who we are as individuals, we want that so desperately, don't we? You want that desperately. So when this past week have you felt seen, heard, known, and loved? When was the last time where you felt that you belong? And not just conceptually or intellectually assenting that you belong, but really, truly, in an embodied way, that you belong. I pray that for you, because I know loneliness is running rampant in our day and age today. And I know, as I look out in this very space, I know you've been hurt by people. There's woundedness here. But as the saying goes, it's in community that we're wounded, but it's also in community that we're healed and transformed. And what gives me hope about this day and time, that God is still healing and transforming souls, is that he's redeeming his bride. He's working in his church. And so when I can show up, and when we can show up, friends, in safety and be able to present our laments and our longings, for our souls to relax, even in times where we can say, yes, even all the things that are going on, to lament over that, whether this pandemic or unemployment or sickness or vulnerability or chaos in the world, the frazzleness that we feel, the frenzy, the struggle, the suffering, the broken relationships, the shallow platitudes, the injustices, the demonizing, the villainizing, the sinfulness, the brokenness, the woundedness, the death. Friends, I long for the resurrection, the peace, the salvation that we have in Jesus, that we would be filled with Spirit-filled love, hope, flourishing, heaven on earth, that God's goodness would cover the world as the waters cover the sea. That Jesus would come again, and that every sad and scary and frustrating stories would be made untrue. That's my prayer. And he's going to do it through friendship. He's going to do it through his church. And so how do we seek to apply this? And just a couple of things. Friends, would you join me in prayer? As last week I said, Lord, help us to live as friends. Let me tag this on. Lord, help us live as friends as we show up and choose to be made known. Lord, help us to live as friends as we show up and choose to make ourselves known. And I know it's a scary prospect to make ourselves known, but it's what our hearts desire. It's what our hearts long for. Lord, help us to live as your friends as we show up and choose to be known with others. Another application is, would you take the time this week to evaluate when it comes to friendships and relationships? Where are you in terms of your relationships with people? I know that we have relationships that are acquaintances, but who are those Ruths and Jonathans in our lives that where we feel seen and we belong? Where they're walking with us, but they're staying with us. Would you take a maybe friendship or relationship audit and to see the habits of your relationship, even just this past year? Have you seen yourself more isolate yourself or withdraw? If so, my invitation is, what does it look like to connect, to seek? And there are many ways that we can connect here at Sojourn North. Just to bring up again the church app directory for Rita. If you're interested to know more of the people here at Sojourn North, we actually have a church directory app that you can see, that you can maybe reach out to. People that you probably see here on Sunday that you want to get to know, to reach out to them, to take the step of faith courageously, to say, hey, can we grab some coffee? Hey, can we talk on the phone? To be able to step out in faith. So to pray, to evaluate, to show up and be known. That is God's invitation for us. Lord, help us live as your friends as we show up and are known. Friends, to allow yourself to feel the need of a friend this morning is to feel human. And a desire for friendships is to acknowledge what God himself acknowledged in Eden. And just like Jesus inviting his friends, Peter, James, and John, to pray with him at the Garden of Gethsemane, to be human is to desire another human. To go far is never to go alone, but always to go together. To have friends is to be alive and be seen and feel felt and valued by another, is one of the greatest gifts that we could ever experience in this side of eternity. Because to be fully known by another is to be fully loved. A friend loves at all times. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And one of the greatest demonstrations that Jesus exhibited was that on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he says, "This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, friends." Because to be fully known is to be fully loved. This is our invitation, that his blood was spilled for us, that we may have forgiveness, and that forgiveness would lead us into life everlasting with him. That is this Trinitarian friendship love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wherever you're at, friends, the invitation is welcome. Will you pray with me?